Welcome, Criswell's College students. We have an exciting day planned for you guys. We are recognizing our graduates today. Can we give our graduates a round of applause? And I'd like to give a big thank you to Moses and his wife for leading us in chapel today. If you guys have not met, yes, please, please. If you guys do not know him, he's one of our graduates, and he wanted to lead us in worship today. And so super excited for this chapel, but I have the privilege of introducing our vice president. You know him very well, Dr. Christopher Graham. He is going to be recognizing our graduates this morning. So let's give him a hand as he comes up.
Good morning to those of you who for whom chapel is a normal event, and for those of you who are joining us this morning for maybe the first time on campus, welcome. The race, when the race is complete, the lyrics we just sang when we think about the end of the race, those of you who have had the, is it joy? Maybe joy is not the right word. Well, those of you who have endured a marathon, a very long race, know that words that you see all along the route are these words: you're almost there, you're almost there. Those of us who've endured a marathon know that depending on where you are on the route depends on how you receive those words. When you see those words in mile one, you realize that it's either a farce, someone trying to be funny, or someone who showed up really, really early because they think that the race is about to end when it's actually just beginning. So you ignore those in the first mile. In the middle of the marathon, let's say between mile 5 and mile 20, you just ignore them because they don't mean anything to you. You're dreaming about the cheeseburgers or the big meal after the race. You're doing everything you can to ignore the pain. The end, the beginning is far from sight, the end is still far from sight, and so you just ignore those you're almost there signs, those you're almost there cheers that you hear on along the side. For me, there gets to a point about mile 21 to 24-ish where I just get mad when I'm seeing them. I mean, I'm tired of running, and they're telling me you're almost there, but they don't know I'm almost there. As a matter of fact, they're wrong. I know that I've been running for hours, and I still may have an hour left, and I'm not almost there. And so I want to reach out and let them know I don't enjoy you're almost there. I'm not almost there, especially it's right around the corner. No, it ain't right around the corner. There's a lot more corners before I get there. But there is nothing like it, y'all. There is nothing like it when you're just about really there, and you hear people say, you're almost there. When the finish line is close enough that you can start hearing the crowd or start hearing the announcer, and you know you really are almost there. When maybe you can hear the band that is playing or the crowds that are lined along that final sprint, and you know you're almost there. And then when people are saying it to you, it energizes you, and you start looking around every corner for the finish line because you really know you're almost there. I think this morning we're close enough to graduation that our graduates will be energized, at least that's our hope this morning, by hearing you're almost there. And that's our intention this morning, is for all of our graduating students to hear and to be encouraged by you're almost there, for us to celebrate with them and to let them know that we are proud of them, that we admire what they have done, and that in just a less than 2 months, in a short time, they're going to be walking across this stage, May 11th, to receive their diploma. And so this morning is devoted to that, to celebrating with them. We're doing that in several ways. We have graduating students who've led singing this morning and who will be preaching for us. We'll be praying at the end for our students. But right now, we're going to take time, and we're just going to do something that we can do because we're Criswell College and can do this. We're going to call the names of each and every one of our graduate students. I'm going to say a brief word with regard to each one of them, and we're going to celebrate with them. And I just want you to put on your... We're at the end of the marathon, and these folks need a little bit of to get it going on past the finish line. You got it? When I call your name, if you're here this morning, a graduate, then I'm going to ask you to stand. I promise it won't take long. I promise you won't be standing and embarrassed for too long. So just stand. If you are with the graduate, if you're a guest of the graduate, a family, a friend, and you're here this morning just to be with them, please stand with them as well. And then any other supporters of that student. Maybe you're a fellow student, and you just like the fact that you see them in the hall, and they just put a smile on your face. We'll stand with them. Maybe that's the program they're graduating from, and you want to, and you're an alumni here, and you have graduated from that same program, or maybe you're still a student, way back in the race course. Stand with them, and then after I say a few words, we're just going to celebrate each one. Sound like a plan? So let's start. By the way, we didn't ask for RSVPs. I don't know who is and is not here this morning. So when I say your name, jump right up so that we know you're here. Please don't be bashful. So is Hunter Alford here this morning? Was it Hunter able to join us? He is not. Hunter is graduating with his Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies, having made the Dean's List while he was here. And so we're proud and happy for Hunter. I'll just say a word about Hunter. When I asked faculty about Hunter, they reminded me of that quote, the William Carey quote about attempting great things for God and accepting great things from God, and they said that's Hunter Alford. His ambition to study the New Testament is at the highest level, and he's shown genuine compassion for students around him. And so we celebrate today Hunter Alford. Indeed. Chantrell Bailey. Chantrell, you're all right. Stand up, Chantrell. There you are. So Chantrell is graduating with a Master of Arts in Counseling. She's also made the Dean's List while she's been here. You will need to know that, so for those that don't know, the MA in Counseling is a long program. Amen, Chantrell? Amen. And she is currently finishing up her counseling requirements, her practicum requirements, so that she can pursue licensure as an LPC associate. She has endured, as all of our MA and counseling students have, getting into the program in the first place, and then passing the MAC committee evaluation and oral exam, and now, of course, doing the practicum to complete her counseling hours. Chantrell, you're almost there. Stephen Barton. I know Stephen's here. I mean, at least I hope he's still here. There he is. There he is. So Stephen is a Master of Divinity student. He has made the Dean's List every semester since he's been here. The faculty this morning, it's good for me to announce that the faculty have chosen Stephen as the recipient of the Criswell College Preaching Award. So you're going to be hearing from Stephen. And in just a moment, after we finish recognizing all of our graduates, Dr. Campbell will introduce him further and congratulate him. I will just say this to you, Stephen. I have heard through the grapevine that some of your peers call you Rabbi. And I'm just saying, Stephen, that sets the bar very high for my expectations this morning. So you better deliver. Congratulations. You're almost there, buddy. Alex Bean. Is Alex with us this morning? So it doesn't shock me that he's not able to. He's graduating also from the Master of Divinity, having made the Dean's List multiple times. It doesn't shock me that he's not here because Alex is a busy fella. He not only has his coursework here, but he is actively involved with jobs and volunteer opportunities to give back to his community and to serve others. So we congratulate Alex this morning. Congratulate Alex. Samuel Becker. Sam with us this morning? Sam, too, is a busy guy, so he wasn't able to join us. He is graduating in his Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies, having made the Dean's List multiple times. When I asked folks about Samuel, they each used this word, questions. And for those of you who have been in classes with Sam as a student or instructor, you know what they mean. It was always, though, qualified with an adjective, in sharp questions, insightful questions. Samuel served as a Criswell ambassador for 2 years and made the Dean's List 4 semesters, and we're proud of Samuel this morning. So let's congratulate Samuel. Shane Burdick. Shane able to make it this morning? Again, another one of our students who take courses mainly in the evenings. He's graduating with his Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies. For those of you who know Shane, again, as a peer or as an instructor, you know he has a passion for academics, for people, for the gospel. How much he loves his pastor, who just happens to also work here at the college, shares that he loves and shepherds his family well. He is passionate about serving the Lord, advancing the gospel, and is a regular preacher, as I understood, at downtown at Dallas Life. And so we're proud of Shane this morning. Let's congratulate Shane. Kenna Cogburn. Kenna better be here. There you are. Hello, Kenna. Now, Kenna is also busy, so I'm glad you're here this morning, but she is graduating with her Bachelor of Science in Education, holding down the fort this year. Kenna, good job, the only one. Having made the Dean's List while she has been here, Kenna was inducted into Kappa Delta Pi in 2022, becoming the first president of the Criswell College chapter of Kappa Delta Pi. When I asked faculty and staff about her, here are some of the words they used. Vibrant passion for the teaching profession and for the children she has been called to serve. Smiling face and enjoyment of life. Yes and amen. Enthusiasm and love of teaching is contagious. It's no wonder then that the faculty chose Kenna to receive this year's Education Honors Award. Congratulations, Kenna. John Colvin is not here with us this morning. He told us he couldn't be that because that's because he lives in Houston. He is graduating with his Master of Arts in Christian Studies, and we are so happy to have had John on campus when he was an undergraduate, and now that he's able to finish his coursework for the MACS while living away from us. One of his instructors said this: John is a diligent student who exudes a love of learning and love for the Lord. He's the only student to ever beat me to an idea by writing a research paper on a topic that I planned on addressing. That's quite a high honor coming from an instructor. He is a student who leads by example, said another. It is for reasons like this that the faculty have chosen John as the recipient of this year's Christian Studies Honors Award. Let's honor and celebrate with John. Samuel Farley. Sam, are you here? There's Sam. So Sam is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies. When I asked folks about Sam, here's what I heard. I can't say enough. Integrity, commitment to Scripture, teachable spirit, a student who longs to see Christ glorified in the hearts and of those around him. Those are just a few of the things that folks had to say. Incredibly thoughtful, one of the most independent thinkers that I've had as a student, said another. He treats everybody well, faculty, staff, and students, a joy to have in class. I will say, on my part, having seen him at his wedding, I am privileged to know that Samuel's passion breaks through every once in a while, that calm, collected, low-key demeanor when he is doing something he loves. So congratulations, Sam. Micah Fortson. Where's Micah at? Oh, there's Micah. So Micah is graduating with a Master of Divinity Advanced Studies, having made the Dean's List multiple times. A humble servant with a love of God's word is what one of your instructors said about you, Micah. Micah excelled in his personal study of both the Greek and Hebrew languages, as well as syntax and exegesis of Scripture. He has helped countless number of Criswell students to learn the language through formal tutoring, study guides, teaching them how to use online tools. As a matter of fact, Micah himself said that the biggest highlight of his time at Criswell, at least one of them, if not the biggest highlight, has been to work with students on Greek and Hebrew. I've loved helping students go from struggling and wanting to drop a course to all the way to getting an A on their final exam. Countless times I've been blessed to see that light in a student's eyes as the topic of the day finally clicks. Now, I just want to say something right now. Let me just take a personal opportunity. I don't know why more of y'all who didn't benefit from Micah's tutoring center work aren't standing up right now. You need to be standing up. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. It is no surprise this morning that the faculty have chosen Micah to receive both the Lamar E. Cooper Senior Hebrew Language Award and the H. Leroy Metz Greek Language Award. How about that? Congratulations, Micah. Congratulations. Alex Gonzalez is not able to be here this morning. At least he told us he was not, so I don't see Alex. Alex is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Ministry. When asked about Alex, here are the words I heard: hardworking, loves and ministers to his family, passionately serves the Lord, encourages and exhorts pastors who serve the Lord. I will only add to that list perseverance, Brother Alex. So let's give thanks for Alex Gonzalez. Deidre Gross. There she is. Deidre will be receiving her Master of Arts in Counseling. She was inducted into Psych High as the Professional Development Coordinator and then led the chapter as president. Just last week, Deidre was a co-presenter with Dr. Jennifer Burgess at the Christian Association of Psychological Studies National Conference. And the topic was, I believe, ethics is not a spectator sport. Furthermore, Deidre, and by her activity here, you know she ain't no spectator, right? She's all in, right? Furthermore, Deidre has used her knowledge to serve others here at the college in times such as sharing her testimony and being a panelist at Criswell's 2020 Drug and Alcohol Awareness Panel. Having made the dean's list, she has also been chosen this year as the recipient of the Counseling Honors Award. Congratulations. Ethan Hosener. Ethan, are you here? Ethan is receiving his Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies degree. What I heard when I asked folks about Ethan was this: a sharp and humble student of Scripture, incredibly smart, having made the dean's list multiple times. He's very soft-spoken, but every time he does say something in class, it is thoughtful and incisive. He will certainly be successful in anything he tries to do. Let's congratulate Ethan this morning. Ryan Lynch. Ryan, are you able to join us? There's Ryan back there. So, Ryan, I think, these are my words, exemplifies the words of that country song, "Still Waters Run the Deepest." Those of us who have had him in class know that he is a compassionate student of Scripture and people, and he stays engaged and ready to extend the conversation, even though 99% of the time he's just sitting there quiet and you don't even see him right there, right smack dab in front of you. He's ready to engage, and when he does, it's very rich. Congratulations. Congratulations, Ryan. Edward Michel. Oh, my. We know Eddie's in the street and in the house, right? I'm on the street and in the house, always. Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy, Politics, and Economics. As many of you know, he has served faithfully and effectively as the SGA president for over 2 years. Edward, one of the faculty members said this: "You are a brave leader who recognizes you two are under authority." Wow, good stuff, brother. He's a true scholar who loves learning for learning's sake, intellectually curious. Over 26 months, Edward has read every biography on every U.S. president. A biography on every U.S. president, right? Okay, to correct the record there. But we all know, that anyone who knows anything about Edward knows, not only that he's from Beaumont, Texas, but that he has a crush on Jimmy Carter. He served his community and nation through his talents and interests. While here, he has served as a volunteer at the Bush Presidential Library. Edward has received been put on the dean's list multiple times, but he is also, I'm pleased to say, the faculty have chosen him to receive the Philosophy, Politics, and Economics Honors Award this year. Congratulations, Edward. Congratulations. Will Norris. There you go. Will's graduating with his Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies. He's involved in, so, well, this is what someone said about you, Will. You are involved in everything Criswell does in some capacity. He does everything. Those are their words, not mine. Will has poured his life into the school. In fact, Will says that being a peer mentor and student success associate were two of his favorite capacities that he was blessed to serve in. He's still in awe of what God is doing during those times on Thursdays and during Sophomore Summit. Proud to see the growth and his peers over the years. He's a gifted student of Scripture and a seeker of God's heart, another faculty member said. Pleased to announce this morning that Will has been chosen as the recipient of this year's Biblical Studies Honors Award. Congratulations, Will. Congratulations. Hayden Parmar. Is Hayden here this morning? Hayden's not here, but if you are on campus ever at any time in the past several years, you know Hayden, who's graduating this year with his Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Biblical Studies. Compassionate, approachable, servant. These are some of the words that were used. Every class he was in was a better class because of his presence. Having myself had the privilege of having Hayden both in classes and as a grader, I christened him early on my cultivator of vibe. He has been on the dean's list every semester that he was here taking classes. Pleased to say that this year he is the recipient of the Psychology Honors Award, as well as the W.A. Criswell Outstanding Bachelor's Graduate Award. Let's congratulate Hayden. Carolina Perez was not able to join us this morning. She is graduating with her Bachelor of Arts in Psychology. We know her as a model of perseverance who has equipped herself to follow God's call to serve others. Donna Ward, who you all know, has a personal shout out because it was Carolina who is one of the only, if not the only, Criswell student who actually shows such incredible eagerness to come to her office and love on her. So that is Carolina. Let's congratulate Carolina. Moises Pina. We know Moises is here. Moises is graduating with his Master of Divinity this year. You've heard and been blessed by him already this morning, a worship leader, heart for God, and desire to lead people in theologically rich and Christ-centered worship. That's what folks have say about you, Moises, and think about you with his talent and ministerial passion. When you add that to his commitment to his studies, he's been on the dean's list multiple times. And I just got to say, Moises, though you requested that I not say your whole name, and to spare you, your family, and everyone here, I won't. But thank you for contributing such an exquisite, enigmatic name to our roster, Moises. Congratulations. Congratulations. Josiah Presley is not able to join us because, again, he is a student who is completing his Master of Arts in Christian Leadership degree from a distance. He received his BA in psychology here in 2018, and then a month later became on staff. So many of us know him both as a student and then as a staff member. We missed having him on campus, but we're glad that he's been able to complete his degree online since he moved to Edmond, Oklahoma to become a youth pastor and a pro-life speaker. So we are congratulating Josiah Presley this morning. Janet Rodriguez is also not able to join us this morning. She is graduating with her Master of Arts in Christian Leadership. Janet is another of our MACL students who's completed her degree online. Her instructors all know her love for her students and the hard work she does teaching in a full-time context. In fact, she's not here this morning because of her full-time job as a teacher in the classroom. She not only has made the dean's list while here, but is the recipient of the C. Richard Wells MA Christian Leadership Honors Award. Let's congratulate Janet. Paul Tong Saturn. Is Paul here this morning? Paul is graduating with his Master of Divinity in addition to his sharp engagement in classes with instructors, as evidenced by his placement on the Dean's List. Paul has a ministry to educate pastors who serve the Mien People Group located in Vietnam. Though he usually ministers online, he will be traveling there this summer. We congratulate Paul this morning. Joshua Slinkard. Is Josh here? There's Josh. I know Josh is here. Josh is graduating with his Master of Arts in Theological and Biblical Studies. He received his first degree in 2013 and then returned around and began his MATBS just a few years ago. When asked about highlights of his time, Josh pointed in every case to very specific times he had in classes with specific instructors. Dr. Street in a New Testament intensive course, or on 1 Corinthians, Dr. Galt in Hebrew exegetical method. I'm sure that just is the tip of the iceberg, Josh, based on what you've said here. Others say about Josh, a careful and broad thinker who really cares about God's word and God's people. Every classroom that includes Josh is more focused, fastidious, and fun. His thesis, Surrounded by a Pauline Witness or Not, the question of authorship and the relationship between the covenants in Hebrews and Galatians. Josh is this year's recipient of the Theological and Biblical Studies Honors Award. Congratulations, Josh. Jordan Velasco. Jordan is here. Jordan is graduating with his Master of Divinity degree. Jordan has done significant work with homeless populations for evangelism, discipleship, and meeting physical needs. He has a heart for evangelism, and he integrates this ministerial work with his academic work, having been on the Dean's List 9 times by my count, Jordan. Loving the Lord with heart, soul, and mind. Though not required for his program, Jordan completed a graduate thesis on, quote, one person, two souls, in hypostasia and a response to Neo-Apollinarianism. Jordan has been on the Dean's List, as I mentioned, every semester during his program, and he has been chosen as the recipient of both the Master of Divinity Honors Award and the H. Leo Edelman Outstanding Master's Graduate Award. Congratulations, Jordan. Kimberly Ward. All right. Kimberly is graduating with her Master of Arts in Counseling, having made the Dean's List. She's been a member of Psi Chi and served as treasurer for that organization, having been on the Dean's List multiple times. She, too, is completing her practicum work for the counseling program as she prepares herself to serve as a licensed counselor. Congratulations, Kim. Congratulations. So a few notes here. First, as each of our students who are receiving honors awards will be meeting with the president to receive the certificate of that accomplishment. And so those of you who are honors awards, you know that you will make a time to go and receive those certificates. Because our speaker this morning has been chosen as the recipient of the preaching award, Dr. Campbell, in just a moment, will come up and introduce him and present him with that award. Dr. Campbell, of course, is our Associate Professor of Preaching and the W.A. Criswell Chair of Expository Preaching. Before Dr. Campbell comes up, I just want to say one thing. I was talking with Stephen this morning in preparing for this, and the question was asked, when are we supposed to get out of here? Not by Stephen, but by someone else. And I said, well, 12 o'clock is when we're supposed to get out of here. But knowing that this is a special morning, and I may go a little long with this part, here's the deal. You take all the time you need to preach the message you've got for us. It will go past 12 o'clock. I'm just telling y'all right now, it's going to go past 12. I'll take the heat for going past 12. But then afterwards, I'm going to get back up and we will pray with our graduates. If you have a class and you'll need to leave early, we understand. But we want to give Stephen all the time he needs as the Lord has directed him this morning to preach. So, Dr. Campbell, would you come up and introduce our speaker?
Okay, good morning, Criswell. Good to see you this morning, and what a great time of celebration. Let's give the Lord one more hand as we begin today. When I was a student here, I found out very quickly that education at Criswell College is a privilege, but also a responsibility. Privilege to come and be with these professors at this school and learn the things we learn, but we have a responsibility to take what we learn back into the local church, into our workplace, for our families, all these good things. And so I'm honored today to introduce our speaker who does this week in and week out. So I asked him for some biographical information, so let me read what he sent, and then I want to say a word, and then we'll bring him up. So Stephen Barton is passionate about family, truth, and the kingdom of God in Christ. Stephen has worked in customs brokerage for 12 years, specializing in data retention and customer relations. In 2012, while working on his Bachelor's of Art in Communications, Stephen met Jody, his greatest supporter, and they have been married for 8 years. And she couldn't be with us today, but we lifted up a lot of prayers for her when she was working on that doctorate in class, so we're missing her today. In 2014, while attending and serving at the Potter's House of Dallas, he became an ordained minister and developed a passion for teaching God's Word. During 2016, the Barton family became members at Providence Village Church, where they matured under the discipleship of Pastor JT and Allison Riley. Stephen became the senior pastor of PVC in 2020. The Barton family welcomed their first child in 2021, Zoe Barton, and she is here with us this morning. And the joyful love she has brought to their home has been indescribable. Stephen will be completing his Master of Divinity degree this spring at Criswell College. He is always excited and humbled to answer the call of God to protect, encourage, and love big in the name of Christ. Now, a personal note, when I get to recommend people for this award, it goes before the faculty, everybody considers, everybody votes, and we get a list of students who are qualified to receive the award, and I always have more than one student. So the question is, how to choose? What do I look for? Well, there's an academic component, which Stephen just crushed. I mean, that's not an issue. The other component I look for is ability to not just speak, but to convey the truth of Scripture. So that's an important component of what we're supposed to do. All of us are supposed to do this. Stephen excels at that. He's a great speaker. He's very clear. I think you'll realize that in just a moment. But more than that, he loves the Word of God, and he wants people to understand it so that if they can understand it, they can obey it. And if they can obey it, they can become more like Christ because of it. So, Stephen, would you please come forward this morning? All right. It is my joy to present you with the Criswell College Preaching Award. Thank you so much. God bless you, brother. Have a good sermon.
Allowing me the opportunity to be able to speak and celebrate my fellow graduates today. I'm going to be preaching from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. If what I read sounds a little weird or unfamiliar to you, I will be coming out of the English Standard Version, so bear with me. But the title of the message that I will be bringing to us this morning is The Gift of Identity. The Gift of Identity. And we're picking up in the key verse. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let's pray. God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to bask in the presence of who you are. That your word would edify and uplift us, that it would bring correction in areas where it would need be, that it would encourage us in areas where we are struggling, that it would enrich us in areas where you want to grow us. Thank you so much for who you are, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Who am I? Why am I here? These questions have challenged philosophers and religious leaders around the world for thousands of years. We continue to wrestle with these ideas even now. In all of our advancement, in all of our technological revolutions, we still find ourselves questioning who we are, especially at pivotal turning points in our lives. Graduation, marriage, the birth of a child, the loss of a loved one. These axis-shifting points in our lives can make us question things in a way that can oftentimes be very unhealthy and destructive. But yet, God has given us a way for us to know who we are at all times. You see, if I'm going to follow Christ, I have to know who he says I am. And when all of us follow him, we receive a gift that can never be taken away from us. I want us to focus on three really big ideas that I'm going to emphasize as I go throughout the sermon this morning, and it's going to be the idea of representation, richness, and rule. Representation, richness, and rule. You see, the original audience who would have gotten this message in Genesis is the nation of Israel, standing in front of this smoldering mountain where the presence of God is touching down on earth. Coming out of being dominated and controlled under Egyptian oppression, all they've ever known is subjugation and death. And God is calling them out of that to be a royal priesthood. All they've ever known is slavery, brokenness, fear. He begins to reveal not only who he is, but where they come from and how they got to this moment now, where the God of creation wants to be in covenant with each and every one of them. So God elaborates on how he brings all of heaven and earth into being, filling the heavens with planets and stars, filling the earth with things creeping across the ground, the ocean swarms with life, the skies filled with things of wings. And in the midst of all this majesty and diversity and splendor, God stops and says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Something that when you read the rhythm of Genesis chapter 1, it comes to a screeching halt because of how distinct of a moment this is in the creative process. And that's what we pick up at in verse 26 this morning. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and all the earth and over everything that creeps on the earth." There's two things that jump out at us immediately: the mystery of the plurality and the singularity of who God is. Something that would later be expanded upon as we get more and more revelation from God and more scripture all the way into the New Testament, where we can kind of get real clear about this us part. But in this moment, God speaking and revealing himself and impressing upon who he is onto this very special element of creation. And the phrase that's used is the image of God. Now, throughout much of Jewish scholarship, all the way throughout Christian history and all the scholarship that's been debated, is this some idea about the fact that man can speak? Is this some idea about the fact that man has logic and reason? What is this idea of the image of God? Dr. Michael Hauser, the late Dr. Michael Hauser, he made this very clear in a way I think is very easy for us to grasp and put into practical understanding. It's the idea that we are God's imagers. We are the representatives of God. Being the image of God isn't something we become. It is who we are. It is the defining characteristic of what it means to be human. When we realize this, it not only changes how we see ourselves, it changes how we see the world around us. This became such a seminal moment for me personally when I became a father. I look at my beautiful baby girl. I see all this wonder and joy and personality in her from the moment she comes out of my wife. And I'm immediately thinking, she got to get saved. And I know that there's going to come a time where I or someone else is going to tell her about God. And one of the things they're going to tell her is God is our Father. And in that moment, it won't be theological. It won't be conceptual. It won't be philosophical. She's going to have in her mind's eye me. Her relationship with me. How I treat her. How she feels when she's in my presence. That's going to be what she associates with God immediately. This is what it means to be his representative. Not just to one another, but to all of creation. In Paul's letters to the Ephesians, he talks about the angelic host look down and look at us trying to learn more about who God is. Now, that's crazy. And in the midst of this wonder that we have to be the people who would represent the creator of all things, there's also this richness element to it, where there's a dynamicism to what it means to be the image of God. And we find that in our next verse, in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. There goes that plurality and singularity. Now it's clearly impressed upon man, which is wondrous. Because in our diversity, we image him equally. So while we have different capacities and different abilities to do different things, no starker contrast in between male and female, but I would suggest this is a principle. Young, old, this culture, this language, that language, there's a tapestry of what it means to be the image of God. And there is an equality there that allows us to operate in unison in order to work together to bring him glory. If I understood what I just said, it would have made my marriage a lot easier, a lot faster. Countless arguments, countless difficult situations and conversations have been had between my wife and I, who will be celebrating our 9th wedding anniversary in just 4 weeks. It was a long, hard road to get there, because we have spent so much time not appreciating the fact that she is who she is, I am who I am. The differences are to be glorified in God as we come together and we can have more and be more and do more together than we can separately. When we miss this idea of unity and diversity, we lose something of the gift that God has given us. And he has given us this for a clear purpose, to rule. And we pick that up in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over everything that creeps and moves on the earth. Now, I know sometimes we get uncomfortable with this idea of ruling. And I think that's because all we've ever seen ruling take place in is a broken and fallen world. We've only ever seen abuse, dictatorship, corruption, and power that makes us think, a king? I'm not really sure I want to be a part of that. But when God's calling us to operate in dominion in the earth, he's simply calling us to be like him. He's simply telling them to do everything that he just did in the first 25 verses of the chapter 1. He makes heaven and earth, then he molds it and creates it in a way that looks wondrous. We have mountains and landscapes. We have beautiful creatures of all different types and sizes. We have all this cultivation, all this wonder, all this splendor. This is what he is calling us to do within our capacity as we rule as representatives of the ultimate king. We cannot shrink from this, and we cannot ignore it, because the burden of this calls us to be in community and fellowship with one another. Because the reality of the limited capacity we have as individuals is very clear once we start to see this divine mandate be handed out in practicality. When we come together and we are the image of God together, we can be what God has wanted us to be. Creation can be what God wants it to be. And it's not just in this awesome, wondrous type of situation. I love the idea that Martin Luther, in his treatise on good works, makes the argument that it's not just about praise and worship or prayer and fasting. Acts such as working at your job, sleeping, eating, when done in faith, glorify God. Because humanity is then acting in the very way that God intended us to be. I know for me, when I feel like I'm not exactly sure what to do, I can be very nervous, I can be very timid, I can be very insecure. I was 20 years old when I met my father for the first time. I should say the only time. I've went through much of my life trying to figure out what is masculinity, what does manhood look like, how do I walk it out? I didn't grow up with a man in a home. I was surrounded by women who had an expectation that I would be a man from the time I was a little boy. I felt pressure. I felt anxiety, I felt uncomfortability. These things erupted to the surface when I got married, and then kaboom when I became a father. And in the midst of the insecurity, the uncertainty, the questioning of who I am and what should I be doing, is this right, is this wrong, should I be doing this, should I be doing that, I get to find peace in simply doing what I see my father do. When I'm questioning how to love, when I'm questioning how to counsel, when I'm questioning how to be available, when I'm questioning how to control my anger, I get to look and see what my father does in Scripture. And he becomes the father to the fatherless. He becomes the foundation and the grounding for my identity in a way that is both now and eternal in its ramifications. Representation, richness, rule. God has put this wondrous work together in a way that we can know who we are, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, no matter what transitional moment we're in life. We can know who we are because we're grounded in his eternality and his willingness to connect and draw us into one another. You see, just like the nation of Israel, who would have received this message and received the call to be transformed from everything that they've ever known, coming out of slavery and bondage, this is the same place each and every one of us was found, in slavery and in bondage to satanic influence, sin, and corruption. And out of that, God calls us to again be a royal priesthood. But unlike the nation of Israel, we get a greater revelation than what they had in Moses. We get a greater example of what that looks like than what they had in Moses. We get the ultimate image of God in Jesus Christ. We get to see what God is like perfectly. His compassion, his boldness, his meekness, his sacrificial love, his willingness to submit his will to the Father, his trust in him and his ability to walk through resurrection power and life that he says is yours as well if you will follow what it looks like to really be the image of God. Who am I? Why am I here? I am someone who bears the image of God. I didn't start bearing the image of God when I got saved, but I became a fuller image of God because of the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform my life. The inherent dignity, worth, and value that is derived from the fact that I reflect the creator of the universe is heightened because now that is something that's true now and forever. Not because of me, not because of something I can do, something I can say, some gift or talent that I possess, but because of his generosity and his grace and his willingness to call me a son, his willingness to call you a daughter, his willingness to bring you into his family and make you a co-heir with Jesus Christ himself. And the clearest value of what God thinks about those who bear his image is seen in how he takes the perfect image of himself, puts it on the cross, and says, I give that so that I could have you. This is who we are. This is who we can be in an even fuller, richer sense because of who he is. Let's give him glory and go to prayer. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come before you in meekness and humility, in thankfulness and appreciation for your son and his sacrifice. Thank you so much for your love and your devotion. Thank you for giving us a foundation that is unshakable and immovable, for a hope that is eternal, for a security that is found in your hands, that we don't have to walk through the world lost, broken, trying to identify ourselves in things that are temporary, in titles that are meaningless, but being able to bask in the glory of who you are. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Now we have an opportunity to put at least one element of Stephen's message into practice, the richness aspect. We together, diverse, different people, yet one in the image of God, bearing the image, can share together as we pray for our graduates. And so in just a moment, what I'm going to do, not quite yet, but in a moment, I'm gonna ask our graduates to stand, and then I'm gonna ask everyone who's here to gather around a graduate, find someone who's standing, gather around them, and then have a person in your group pray for that graduate. After you're done praying, you are dismissed. As I understand it, we have some snacks, post-treat snacks. Is that, I'm seeing a nod in the courtyard. Is that also?
Student lounge.
Student lounge. So right through these doors, and if you're, again, if you're a guest here, we'll get you to the snacks, so don't you worry. But Stephen, thank you very much for a message this morning, for a good reminder. Thank you again. Graduates, if you would stand and let us, so just graduates, get to your feet so we can see you. There you go. Wonderful group. And I encourage all of you that can come back on May 11th when you can actually watch them do their deed and get across that stage. Now, though, you can rise and gather around one of these, and if someone in your who's gathered around will pray for them and Lord's blessing on them.